Welcome to Charge Forward Coaching, the podcast for committed athletes who want to achieve more on and off the field. Hosted by James Blasco, certified mental toughness and resilience coach. You'll gain insights and inspiration from elite athletes, coaches, and others who know what it takes to excel. Are you ready to take your game to the next level? Then tune in, get inspired, and let's charge forward. Now here's your host, James Blasco.
Hi, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Charge Forward Coaching Podcast, where we delve deep into the minds of top athletes, coaches, and other successful individuals to uncover the secrets of mental toughness, resilience, and elite performance. Hi, I'm James Blasco, your host, and today we have a very special guest. He's made an incredible impact on young athletes, but also in the world of baseball. Joining us is Jonathan Anderson, the inspiring coach who led the Lake Mary Little League baseball team to their historic victory in the 2024 Little League World Series. Jonathan brings a wealth of experience from his remarkable coaching career, emphasizing faith, resilience, and teamwork. We're thrilled to have him share his insights on how to develop mental toughness, handle immense pressure, and balance sports with life. Get ready for an engaging and motivating conversation with Coach Anderson. So let's dive in. Now, there's so much pressure in all sports. This particular tournament, I think, is so pressure-packed, and these kids are young. They're 11 and 12 years old. How do you help them cope through that pressure, especially the times when it gets super intense, when those games were very close? How do you help them cope with that?
That's the hardest part with, like you said, 11 and 12-year-olds. You try your best to prepare them, and you know, that's what you ask for, is let's try to limit the free bases. Let's try to limit walks. Let's try to limit errors. We know they're going to happen, but let's limit the damage the best as possible. Cause if you do that, those teams can come out on top. And, you know, just to have them locked in for six innings, that can be hard sometimes, especially if the game gets out of hand in one direction or the other, or they're worried about something's going on with their friends at home or their parents. So when we won the state of Florida and we had it was like an 8-day break, kind of, essentially, we got back home and we started practicing every day and a lot. That's when I started adding running in miles so that the kids could be mentally tough. Cause when you get up into Georgia and you're in a hotel room with four teammates, cause that's pretty much how they do it, is they give us hotel rooms, and you as the coaches, you try to split them up into fours as best as possible. So when you're in that hotel room and you're with each other for essentially a week, you need to be mentally tough. You need to be prepared. You need to do what is asked of you to be ready to win, which is, you know, going to bed early. Cause I can't just come in your room at all hours of the night. It's up to you to do it as a player. It's you that wants to do this. So that's when I started to do some more things to keep them mentally tough and mentally prepared.
So were there any specific strategies that you utilized to help them with their mental toughness? You know, we talk about mental toughness. We talk about commitment and challenge, control, and ultimately confidence. You know, what did you have to do to work with them to make sure their mental toughness was there throughout this entire process?
The coolest thing to watch was when we won the states and we were about to head off into regionals. That's when the popularity within the media community started to grow. So, you know, they started to get microphones in their face. They started to get cameras in their face. And before we went to Georgia, the kids were a little bit nervous. Their answers weren't, you know, they were a little stuttery. They were nervous. And then you get every game we won up in Georgia, a media crew would want to interview us. You know, we'd have our computer. They'd want to interview us after the game, post game. And so then you started to get more questions, and I'd let, you know, a player or two in there and talk with me. And then it kept going and going. And then we win the regionals and we get back home and we get greeted with a whole bunch of cameras. And then you started to see them almost start to take the coach's responses to some of the questions of, you know, we're a team, we're one, we're just doing this together. We're trying to bond. We're trying to grow. And they started to hear those answers from me or from their other coaches. And then they started to use them maybe to gain their composure. You know, those can be fillers for them for when they, you know, forgot what they wanted to say, or they got a little bit shy. They could start to use these answers to compose themselves to where they could gather their thoughts to answer kind of how they wanted to. So it was fun to see. It was fun to see them grow in that and build their confidence while they were, you know, winning and gaining popularity essentially.
So knowing you're going to have this long stretch, really super competitive games, difficult teams to play against, the kids are young. Were there any particular routines that you focused either on or off the field to help you through this whole period?
Yeah, we always had our set schedule, the way we wanted to operate, you know, an hour before the game. And they had all that, every practice, every game, they always had a warm-up routine. You know, it would consist of some type of stretching program or active, some type of active stretching. And they did it in, I think it was four groups of three. I believe it to be, it was four groups of three, or it was three groups of four, but they had to do it together. They had to be one when the group went off and did, you know, their shuffles or their leg lifts or anything of that nature. We kind of enforce that into them is that we're a team. We're going to do this in unison. We're going to do this together. We want this to look as polished as we can so that, you know, you guys understand that you're doing this as one. And that was another thing that we did before. I believe it was before we went to regionals. We did a boot camp as well. We had one of my neighbors was, you know, ex-Army. So he came in and he did a little boot camp, a little team building exercises. And, you know, he had his bear crawl from base to base and said, listen, if you can go through the grueling of getting on your hands and knees and bear crawling from first to second, when a coach asks you to turn a single into a double, that should be easy.
Yeah. With the team, how do you manage the team dynamics? Like, how do you build a strong culture where every player feels valued and, you know, that team chemistry really comes together?
We didn't have a team that all came together when they were 9 or 10 and just went through the All-Star process together. This was a made up team this year. So there's a few kids that have played baseball together for a few years, but as a whole, this was not a core group of eight kids or anything of that nature. Maybe it was three at best, four at best. So we had to build the chemistry and we had to build it kind of fast. And it was a slow process. Some kids still had travel ball obligations or end of season tournaments. You know, you have Cooperstown for a lot of those travel kids. You have a lot of that Cal Ripken, Pigeon Forge, Myrtle Beach. So kids had events that they were going to as a 12-year-old that we had to kind of work around essentially. And it took a little bit for them to finally come back into June, into the middle of June. And that's when the practice started to get as whole, all 12. And then we could start to work on plays and talk about signals and those things. But to the kids that may have been in and out, the other ones were there at practice working, understanding the coach's philosophy, understanding what was asked of them, what was needed. And it worked. You know, some of those other kids that had obligations, they knew what I expected of them and they knew my philosophy. So it wasn't that big of a loss. So some of those kids that didn't have obligations, they were in there and they got to learn exactly what our coaching staff wanted of them when asked. So it all worked out.
So throughout the process, you know, you have different personalities on the team, you have different kids, you have different things going on with each and every one, good things, bad things. How did you support them emotionally throughout this process?
I think they understood, especially when the working started coming in. So we did do miles before states, because I remember telling them that was our biggest thing, was no one's going to outwork you. If this is going to come down to a battle of who's mentally stronger or who worked harder, we're going to win the game. If we're talking about, you know, a skill, a one-on-one skill, maybe they might be able to get the better of you once or twice, but in the long run, you're not going to lose. And they all understood that. They all believed it. They all deep down knew it. So in any tough game that we had, there was never the emotional, you know, they didn't bring that emotional baggage really into the dugout, essentially. I mean, there was a few kids that they would get upset when they didn't produce in a moment, but you know, we could quickly snap them back and let them understand, you know, that's why we're a team, right? The next guy can pick you up. Even though your at bat wasn't a success, and even though you didn't do a job, the last job that you have is to bring the knowledge that you gained up at the box back to your players in the dugout, so that next player can have a better at bat than you did, or the player after that, you know, the one that's on deck, the one that's in the hole, several kids in the dugout. Tell us what the umpire's zone looks like. Tell us what the kid's curveball looks like. Tell us, you know, hey, his fastball doesn't look hard from the dugout, but you know what? In the box, it jumps on you. And those kids started doing that, and they started learning that, and they became one. So there wasn't much emotional confusion or emotional pressure on them in most of these games. They knew that their teammates would pick them up. These teammates would handle the job, and we would come out on top.
So let me talk about something you probably heard a lot about, got a lot of feedback on, but it was at that time in the dugout. It was a sixth inning. Your team was really on the edge of getting beat, and you had to pull them together and tell them something, right, to get them focused so they could achieve at this biggest moment. And I'm going to read a portion of what you said in the dugout that day. You said, "We're already champs. The Lord put it in his book. We're just going to finish the story right here, right now. Stay calm, stay composed, stay within yourself, but understand it's already been written." That is powerful, and it obviously worked.
That, throughout that game, there was, you know, I was saying different things. I was saying it different ways. And I know Todd Frazier started to talk about it a little bit, because we kept getting runners on base, right? Every inning we had a runner at third almost. So we were pushing, and you know, innings prior, I would talk about how the train is moving down the track. We're going to get there. We keep pressing. We keep pushing. We're going to break through. We're going to score a run. Keep going, guys. We flip this lineup over one more time. They're not going to hold us down for a third time or a fourth time. And then we get to that sixth inning. And my son is leading it off. And it takes me back to the year prior when we played Nolensville. My son was the leadoff hitter. He led the game off with a strikeout. He ends up where we kind of push a little bit, but he ends up in the bottom of the sixth inning, striking out to end the game against Nolensville. So, you know, there's that etched in my brain of prior to my son's last at bat against Nolensville, I call timeout and I talk to him, and I was trying to prepare him, and I said, "Take a deep breath." He took a deep breath, and all of his emotions came out, all of his emotions of the summer, of maybe possibly letting his team down, all that came out on him. So I knew that I wanted to have this conversation and let them stay calm. Could have been speaking more to my son than a team, but it was all of them. Stay calm, stay collected, stay within yourself. Understand that we've got this, but also there are people not within our team, not within Florida, we don't even know them, that believe that it's already been written and it's in the book, boys. This isn't something that's just, I'm just saying, these are being backed by people that don't know us, that are Christians and they're one with the Lord. They're saying that it's ours, boys. So just believe in that, believe in these guys, and do what you're built to do. Do what you came here to do, and let's finish this game. And that, you know, that's where it all came from. That's what's going on through my mind. And that was my last effort to get them ready, those kids ready to win this game.
So I know you touched on, you know, working with your son and your son playing. What really has been, you know, that process of, you know, having to be a father and a coach, and how did that play out? How did you manage that throughout this whole situation?
Probably didn't get too much of the father part while we were doing that. He got more of the coach. Now, I didn't coach him outside of the games or practices. And, you know, every once in a while I would tell him, you're doing a great job. I'm proud of what you're doing here. But more often than not, it was just, he was just another kid, you know, another player. And I didn't want to do too much to him or for him. You know, as a coach, you don't want to cater to your kid. He was one of the leaders, him, Landon Bono, James Feliciano, and Jacob Bebo. So they were the leaders. So he did get treated like a leader. He had to set an example. So he got that part of it. But when it comes to having those father-son moments up there, we might have missed some of those opportunities. But we, you know, before the game started, we had our moments, we had our time. We played some ping pong together. We did some things up there. But once everything started, we both kind of just locked in and did what we were, you know, did what we had to do to get our team to get us Lake Mary over the hump.
I know not, you know, the entire process wasn't perfect. You had your ups and downs, tough times, right? Maybe a loss and some challenges. You know, how did you keep your team focused in the right mindset? And there might have even been some criticism, right? Challenges, feedback, maybe you didn't want to hear. How did you work through that with them?
Going through districts and sectionals, we didn't really run into any tight games. We ran into a tight game in states. We played what could be arguably the best pitcher in the Little League World Series out of Boca. We played him. So that was our first real battle. And we could have lost that game. It was definitely, we were definitely tied in the bottom of the sixth with bases loaded and one out. I felt that it was over. I felt that that's going to be tough for us to get by. And I, you know, for a moment there, I had to come to grips with the season ending for a second. And it was, you know, how do I accept this? But the boys rose to the challenge and they got out of it. And maybe like we said in the last game, it was written and this was just a part of the journey. And then, you know, we get into regionals, nothing that tough. And then we get to the Little League World Series, where not only do you deal with, like you said, you're dealing with crowds, you're dealing with, you're confined into a compound essentially with all the players, and you lose a game. We lost to Julian Hurst out of Texas, and that game was a tough game. So we had to bounce back and we had to go to the loser's bracket. So that was that next practice, that next day, there was a lot of regrouping, mentally resetting. And we worked through that as a coaching staff with the players. And, you know, they had the same goal as they wanted to win the U.S. They wanted to definitely get revenge on Texas again. So we were set on doing that. But to get those kids locked in, it's a hard thing to do. And playing every day at 7 p.m., that was something we had to get over as well, trying to prepare the schedule. And it, you know, we did it the best we could as a coaching staff, and it worked. The kids stepped up to the challenge and they were ready to take on that challenge against you know, New York, Hawaii, Nevada, and then on to Texas again. And I will say that we did get kind of lucky. We didn't face the number one or number two pitchers of some of those teams. So we got the better end of the schedule, essentially.
Now, I kind of know the answer to this one, I think, but I'm going to ask, you know, watching those kids, I know it's tough competition, a lot of people watching, the stress, the time spent away from home, but man, they looked like they were having fun. I mean, they were just having a blast out there. They seemed relaxed, even in the toughest, most pressure-packed moments. You know, how did that come to be? How were they having so much fun out there while at the same time focusing and accomplishing their biggest goals?
They all have the personalities, and they're all excited kids. So I think, you know, with some of the questions you asked, and I didn't answer it perfectly, so we'll do it here, is the practices were tough. The practices were pressure filled. I was hard on them. I was, you could say, picky, maybe even nagging. I was on them though. And I wanted them to understand that if I make these practice pressure filled, if I make these practices hard, the games will be fun and easy. And I won't have to coach you in those moments. It'll just happen. You know, like, you make an error, it's okay, because I know that we worked so hard that the error would be okay. And that was one of the things that we were taught or learned prior to playing some games. David Eckstein came and David Eckstein spoke to us, and he kind of used that example or analogy. It was like, I worked so hard, I fielded so many ground balls, that if a ground ball ate me up, then it's okay, because I put in that much work that, you know, that ground ball got the better of me and all my work couldn't stop it from happening. So that's kind of the philosophy we took with these kids, is we're going to work you so hard in practice that if there is some subtle mistake in the game, we're going to have to allow it, because you put in the work, we put in the work together. So we have to accept this error as just a part of the game.
You know, how do you handle the success of it all? I mean, there was, you know, 3.5 to 5 million people watching the championship game. You guys have this dramatic win. I think everybody knows the players' names and who they are, what they accomplished. You come home, you get the water over the plane, you're on TV, you get a parade in Disney. How does all that success and handling that success work for not just the kids, but also you? I mean, how does that work moving forward?
Yeah, to have that, I wanted to feel that type of reception coming back home, win or lose. So that was something that was maybe a dream of mine or a goal of mine, was to get these kids to Williamsport and to get that welcome. But yeah, getting back here to Central Florida, the fanfare, the parades, Disney, it's a cool experience. I think it's something that these kids deserve for all the hard work they put in over the summer, for the wins, for their personality. I think they're handling it well. I think they love it. I think they love being role models for the kids, being someone that they can look up to. They walk around Lake Mary Little League. They are looked at as heroes to the little kids. They embrace it. I think they love it. I think sometimes the abundance of autographs in a row kind of, you know, maybe hurts their hand a little bit, but they work through it. They accept their popularity at the moment. I think they know that it may not last forever. They take all the pictures in the world. They can take a picture. That doesn't, you know, that doesn't take too much energy and effort. So, I think they love the benefits that they're receiving for the efforts and labor that they put in.
And now I just have one last question here. What are your future aspirations? What are you going to do moving forward?
I have two more sons. I have a son that's this spring will be league age 11, and I have a son this spring that will be league age 9. So I would hope to coach the all-star team for the next 5 springs. I think there's some neighbors that we've grown up with that have a son that's would be league age 8 next year. I think I want to take it through my kids and then one more year for him and his buddies to see what they could do. Obviously that's a long-sighted goal. That's 5 years. Anything can happen. We could move, you know, there could be a mutiny. There could be another guy that wants to be the coach. And I get outvoted. You never know. Anything can happen. But that would be my goal. That would be my plan. I think my oldest son, who's 12, now 13, I don't think he needs me as his coach anymore or needs me as that type of coach. I know there, you know, there's people in this area that say, oh, you know, coach the high school team, do this, do that. That's not my goal. It's not something I want to do. I think he needs to be coached by somebody else. And those kids need to be coached by somebody else. And it's, you know, I have two other sons. It's their opportunity to have their dad be the manager or the head coach of their teams and lead them to this journey that only kids dream of.
Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing time with us. What a great story. What a great inspiration. And we just appreciate you being on the show.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you for the kind words. I mean, it takes knowledge and experience to definitely get through a Little League All-Star tournament, but I'll do my best. I hope that the hops go my way essentially, and the strikes and balls go my way, but I'm up for the challenge. I love it. It's exciting to see these kids succeed, to see these kids have some joy. And like you said, to see those personalities and that excitement from this team this year, it gives you all the energy in the world.
For the rest of you out there, hey, listen, subscribe, like, share, do all those important things. And we have some more awesome guests coming up. So just tune in and keep charging forward.